Now, however, here in Temple Church, Remy's future was at risk. Unable to bear the thought of coming this close only to lose it all, Remy made the decision to take bold action. The gun in his hand was a concealable small-caliber J-frame Medusa, but it would be plenty deadly at close range. Stepping from the shadows, Remy marched into the circular chamber and aimed the gun directly at Teabing's head.
"Old man, I've been waiting a long time to do this."
Sir Lee Teabing's heart practically stalled to see Remy aiming a gun at him.
"What is he doing?"
Teabing recognized the tiny Medusa revolver as his own, the one he kept locked in the limousine glove box for safety.
"Remy?"
Teabing sputtered in shock.
"What is going on?"
Langdon and Sophie looked equally dumbstruck. Remy circled behind Teabing and rammed the pistol barrel into Teabing's back.
"I'll make it simple," Remy snapped, eyeing Langdon over Teabing's shoulder. "Set down the keystone, or I pull the trigger."
Langdon stepped back, raising the keystone high, looking fully prepared to hurl it at the floor. "I would rather break it," Langdon said, "than see it in the wrong hands." Remy aimed at the ceiling and fired the Medusa. The blast was enormous for such a small weapon. Everyone froze.
"I am not playing games," Remy said. "The next one is in his back. Hand the keystone to Silas."
Langdon reluctantly held out the cryptex. Silas stepped forward and took it. Slipping the keystone in the pocket of his robe, Silas backed off, still holding Langdon and Sophie at gunpoint. Teabing felt Remy's arm clamp hard around his neck as the servant began backing out of the building, dragging Teabing with him.
"Let him go," Langdon demanded.
"We are taking Mr. Teabing for a drive," Remy said, still backing up. "If you call the police, he will die. If you do anything to interfere, he will die. Is that clear?"
The fireplace in Chateau Villette's living room was cold, but Cullet paced before it nonetheless as he read the faxes from Interpol. The only red flag tonight had been a set of fingerprints that apparently belonged to Teabing's servant. The chief PTS examiner was reading the report across the room. Cullet looked over.
"Anything?"
The examiner shrugged.
"Prints belong to Remy Legludec, wanted for petty crime. Skipped out on a hospital bill once for an emergency tracheotomy."
He glanced up, chuckling. "Peanut allergy." Cullet nodded, recalling a police investigation into a restaurant that had failed to notate on its menu that the chili recipe contained peanut oil. An unsuspecting patron had died of anaphylactic shock at the table after a single bite. Just then, another PTS agent burst into the living room.
"Lieutenant, we found something in the barn."
Rubbing his eyes, Cullet followed the agent out to the barn. As they entered the cavernous space, the agent motioned toward the center of the room, where a wooden ladder ascended high into the rafters, propped against the ledge of a hayloft.
"That ladder wasn't there earlier," Cullet said.
"No, sir, I set that up. We were dusting for prints when I saw the ladder lying on the floor. I wouldn't have given it a second thought, except the rungs were worn and muddy. This ladder gets regular use."
A senior PTS agent appeared at the top of the ladder, looking down.
"You'll definitely want to see this, Lieutenant," he said, waving Cullet up.
Nodding tiredly, Cullet climbed up.
"It's over there," the PTS agent said, pointing deep into the immaculately clean loft.
Cullet squinted through the dim light toward the far wall.
"What the hell?"
Nestled against the far wall sat an elaborate computer workstation, two tower CPUs, a flat-screen video monitor with speakers, an array of hard drives, and a multi-channel audio console.
"Why in the world would anyone work all the way up here?"
Cullet moved toward the gear.
"Have you examined the system?"
"It's a listening post."
Cullet spun.
"Surveillance?"
The agent nodded.
"Very advanced surveillance. Someone clearly knows what he's doing. A lot of this gear is as sophisticated as our own equipment."
Cullet was impressed.
"Reception method?"
he asked. The agent signaled to an insulated wire that ran out of the back of the computer, up the wall, through a hole in the barn roof.
"Simple radio wave, small antenna on the roof."
Cullet's gaze moved now to a shelf on which were stacked several hundred audio cassettes, all labeled with dates and numbers. He turned back to the agent.
"Do you have any idea what target is being bugged?"
"Well, Lieutenant," the agent said, walking to the computer and launching a piece of software. "It's the strangest thing."
Langdon and Sophie were on the uptown platform of the embankment tube station, where Sophie was at a payphone calling the police. Langdon had not initially agreed with this idea, but as they had hatched their plan, Sophie's logic began to make sense. Teabing was safe at the moment. Even if Remy and the others knew where the knight's tomb was located, they still might need Teabing's help deciphering the orb reference. What worried Langdon was what would happen after the Grail map had been found. Lee will become a huge liability. If Langdon were to have any chance of helping Lee, or of ever seeing the keystone again, it was essential that he find the tomb first. Unfortunately, Remy had a big head start. Slowing Remy down had become Sophie's task. Finding the right tomb had become Langdon's. Sophie would make Remy and Silas fugitives of the London police, forcing them into hiding or, better yet, catching them. Langdon's plan was less certain: to take the tube to nearby King's College, which was renowned for its electronic theological database. He wondered what the database would have to say about a knight a pope interred. He stood up and paced, wishing the train would hurry. At the payphone, Sophie's call connected to the London police.
"I'm reporting a kidnapping," Sophie said.
"Name, please?"
Sophie paused.
"Agent Sophie Neveu, with the French Judicial Police."
The title had the desired effect.
"Right away, ma'am. Let me get a detective on the line for you."
15 seconds passed. Finally, a man came on the line.
"Agent Neveu?"
Stunned, Sophie registered the gruff tone immediately.
"Agent Neveu,"
Bezu-Fache demanded,
"where the hell are you?"
Sophie was speechless. Captain Fache had apparently requested the London police dispatcher to alert him if Sophie called in.
"Listen," Fache said, "I made a terrible mistake tonight. Robert Langdon is innocent. All charges against him have been dropped. Even so, both of you are in danger. You need to come in."
Sophie's jaw fell slack. She had no idea how to respond. Fache was not a man who apologized for anything. Fache's voice was firm now.
"You and I need to cooperate, Agent Neveu. We both have a lot to lose here. This is damage control. I made errors in judgment last night, and if those errors result in the deaths of an American professor and a DCPJ cryptologist, my career will be over. I've been trying to pull you back into safety for the last several hours."
A warm wind was now pushing through the station as a train approached. Sophie had every intention of being on it.
"The man you want is Remy Legludec," Sophie said. "He is Teabing's servant. He just kidnapped Lee Teabing inside the Temple Church and—"
"Agent Neveu,"
Fache bellowed as the train thundered into the station.
"You and Langdon will come in now, for your own well-being. That is a direct order."
Sophie hung up and dashed with Langdon onto the train.